Greetings to all of you from this beautiful sanctuary of the House of Faith. And I am so excited to speak to you. Even though we are apart, I know that we've been holding each other up in prayer, and we are still continuing our worship. And that's a wonderful thing, because we are the worshiping congregation, and that's our nature, and we will continue our worship regardless. A Methodist bishop visited a local parish under his jurisdiction, but was not quite familiar with the congregation. The pastor at the church was delighted to have the presence of the bishop and ask him to lead Sunday worship and communion. The bishop stood at the altar but was not certain whether the microphone on the altar was switched on. He tapped it gently with no result. So leaning very close to it, he said in a loud whisper, which echoed around the church, "There is something wrong with this microphone. The well-trained and responsive congregation, but not quite familiar with the latest liturgical language, replied it at once, "And also with you." What was wrong with the disciples at the time of resurrection? Their first reaction to the resurrection was disbelief, in spite of manifold, integral, and undeniable evidences of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus foretold his resurrection in concrete manners to his followers, so the resurrection should not have been a complete surprise. The tomb was empty. Angels proclaimed the news of resurrection. Jesus appeared to the devout women on Easter morning. Two disciples were walking down to Emmaus with Jesus all day. Jesus appeared to the doubting Thomas and showed his scars and even asked him to touch his scars. Jesus appears to the 11 disciples. Jesus dined with, taught, and spent the next 40 days with the believers. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:6 that Jesus appeared more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of those people were still living. Paul established a Christian community in Corinth between 50 and 51 AD and wrote his first epistle to the church around 53 and 54 AD. And wrote his first epistle to that church 54 AD. And Ephesus. Those who met the resurrected Jesus still lived when Paul wrote the letter. The physical resurrection of Christ was factual. He was seen by not only handful, but hundreds of followers. Not only for a few minutes or hours, but 40 days. How did the core followers initially react to this historical resurrection? Let us look at the gospel reading again. Verse 11. When they heard from Mary Magdalene that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Verse 13. The two disciples who walked and talked with Jesus for one whole day returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Disbelief was widespread among Jesus' followers. What caused them to disbelieve? Those faithful followers were people of rational mind, just like us. People live and die. It is a natural course of life. They revere Jesus as a great teacher and prophet, but regarded him just a mere human. Jesus lived and died. Jesus impacted their lives so much. They loved Jesus and were so devastated by his sudden death. The only thing left for them was to grieve. Rational mind is a sound mind, as we know it. Reasoning is a fundamental function of our mind to perceive and make decisions. However, rational mind does not necessarily comprehend the spiritual realm. It does not fully embrace God's domain. Their rational mind caused rejection and dismissal of the factual event of the resurrection of Christ. Now, see how irrational their response to the resurrection was. It was rather humorous. Let me explain what I mean. Mary Magdalene was at the scene of resurrection. How long had she known Jesus? Luke chapter 8 indicated that Mary Magdalene was among listeners when Jesus taught a parable of sower. Luke chapter 7 says the disciples of John the Baptist visited Jesus not long before Jesus taught the parable. Considering John the Baptist died shortly after Jesus began his public ministry, and John's disciples would have been disbanded with his death, Mary Magdalene had been with Jesus close to 3 years or more. We are going to learn more about Mary Magdalene next Sunday. The two disciples who walked on the road to Emmaus would have spent a similar length of time or more with Jesus. One of the two was Clopas, presumably the husband of Mary, the sister of mother of Jesus, which means that Clopas had known Jesus from his childhood. Imagine that you have known someone very closely for that long period and have just missed seeing him only 3 days. Would you recognize him? Of course you would. But the disciples did not, because their mind operated only by rational principles, which dictated to them that resurrection was not possible. In case their memory would have been bad, they could have asked at least, "Have I met you before? You look familiar somehow." But those disciples could not simply recognize Jesus. Mary thought Jesus was a gardener. The two disciples were even worse. They were walking and talking with the risen Christ face to face whole day. The main subject of their conversation was about Jesus, even though Jesus was the one they were talking to. They asked Jesus, "Are you the only one who does not know about Jesus who was just crucified? He was a great man of God." Do you know how funny this would have been? The Bible does not go into details, but I can picture that Jesus rolled his eyes and you know, had this incredulous expression on his face. It is almost like you do not recognize me after a week later. Who is this preacher on the computer screen? Do we have a new preacher at the church? I hope your memory is better than that. Being rational serves us all right most of the time, but we should remember that it could make us to be close-minded, as the disciples closed their mind and did not recognize the risen Christ. I found one good example of a rational person. LA Times carried an article about Ron Reagan on April 13th. Some of you might have read it. He's a son of a late President Ronald Reagan. An editor wrote that Ron appeared on a commercial on CNN after presidential debate and announced that he is a lifelong atheist, not afraid burning in hell. Ron, even from his childhood, he was like that. Ron was 10 years old or so when he concluded that the Bible story told to children had little more validity than stories about Santa Claus. For example, he flatly rejected the story of Abraham and Isaac. He could not comprehend that God asked Abraham to kill his own child. When Ron was 12 years old, he told his father that he was no longer going to his church. His father then was the governor of California and attended Bel Air Presbyterian Church. Ronald Reagan invited his pastor, Don Mumo, a former UCLA All-American football lineman and Reagan's family friend, to his home to convince Ron, but it did not work. Ron Reagan is not the only one who thinks that the Bible does not make sense. So many stories in the Bible do not appeal to the rational mind. The followers of Jesus did not recognize the risen Christ when they heard directly from eyewitnesses who were in their trusted circle, and even when they saw him before their eyes. When Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. I mean, the expression here is very interesting. Their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. Jesus came back to life, and many already have met the risen Christ. And now he was standing right before their eyes, but they did not recognize him. Why? Simply because they were so preoccupied in the world of their reasoning, became so stubborn and refused to believe that Jesus came back to life, even when he was right there talking to them. How hard is it to believe the risen Christ? They say that believing in God is a very difficult proposition because God is invisible. However, according to the accounts of the resurrection written in the Gospels, it is not so difficult to believe it in Jesus. Jesus was so real. He was alive. He still is. He, in fact, is standing before our eyes in our daily living. Could God be more real than this? There are so many circumstantial and physical evidences of his presence, so that no one with a sound mind could deny. If anyone would deny his presence, he or she would be foolish, as Psalm 14:1 says. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile." To believe is to simply recognize Jesus who exists before our eyes. It is that easy. Anyone could meet him. You do not have to be a rocket scientist to know and experience God. You do not have to be a minister to understand God even. Jesus asked to the intellectual seminarians in a classroom, "Who do you say that I am?" And they answered, "You are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the kerygma in which we found the ultimate meaning of our interpersonal relationship." And Jesus replied, "What?" Jesus would not understand their difficult terminology either. Understanding God and experiencing God are not complicated at all. Jesus is risen. He lives today and manifests himself so obviously. His presence could be seen so plainly, as Paul says in Romans 1:20. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." So, again, experiencing God is so real, and to prove God's presence is so easy. So people don't have any excuses. As we see from how the disciples reacted to the risen Christ, we could easily get caught in our own scope of reasoning and dismiss God who is so real. But Jesus pointed out point blank that disbelief was purely a condition of mind, which did not have anything to do with the reality of resurrection. I'm going to repeat that again. Disbelief, their disbelief was purely a condition of mind which did not have anything to do with the reality of resurrection. If some people would choose to not recognize him, it is only because they are being so stubborn to yield to the undeniable reality. The risen Christ stands before us. His presence in our life is unquestionable, no matter what the world may say. To believe the risen Christ is to accept this fact of life. Where we are today is where Christ lives. Therefore, believe and meet the risen Christ. Amen.